One other question about your quarterback room. So, in your experience, how long does it take that to kind of regenerate, and what is important in your mind for you to do to sort of make that not a huge issue coming into the season?
I think the biggest thing for me is, for myself personally, is that I'm going to have to get to know Kirk. I'm going to have to get to know Trevor. And more than just, you know, my first year when I came here, or when Sam came here, let's say that one, you know, it was right at the beginning of the season. I didn't have, you know, I was so busy with the defense at that time. I think our relationship between with Sam got a lot better after that. But I think the big thing is that I need to spend a lot of time with him, get to know him better, him get to know me, so we're both on the same page. And I don't think the quarterback room, I think the guys are excited to have Cousins here. You know, and I'm just the small number of guys that I've talked to.
Yeah.
I think that they're excited to have him, and I don't think that will be an issue, the quarterback room whatsoever.
You get to spend a lot of time in talking with Sam leading up to training camp last year, and you know, building that relationship, as you mentioned. Is that what you hope to do with Kirk, is just running different scenarios by him?
Yeah. Probably what I'll do is, the beginning, you know, I'm just going to, like we normally do in OTAs, and try to get to know him as a person. And then my plan is to go see him sometime in the off season, sometime this summer, go see him and sit down and have dinner with him and just talk about different things. But I figure it's better to get the football part going first and then start to get to know him better. Yeah, I might. I mean, just depends on where he's at and what he's comfortable with.
So, knowing you've talked a lot about Teddy and how you feel about him, what was it like saying goodbye to him in the days after you guys had that you signed Kirk one day and then later Teddy?
Yeah, I texted him, or actually he texted me first, and then I texted him back. It was, you know, real quick conversation, but it was, you know, I think he knows how I feel about him, and you know, hopefully he feels the same way about me.
What a big try to talk to him one-on-one.
Cousins or Teddy?
Teddy. Now a Jet, but
yeah, I probably won't, you know, just. I probably just do, like, you know, when he does good, I'll text him or something. You know, but I do, you know, the kids, all three of them I had a good relationship with. Well, I thought he was doing good in practice. The reports I'd get back from the medical people weren't as positive as I was about it. So, I mean, that's kind of how it came down, is that his knee wasn't, you know, he still had some recovery to do. But when I watched him in practice, he moved well. I didn't see limitations, but, you know, from what I was told, there was some.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Jerick McKinnon? What should 49ers fans know about what they're getting in him?
The first thing is he's a great kid, works hard, always got a smile on his face, catches the ball extremely well out of the backfield, became a much better runner last year than I think Kennedy Palmalu did a really good job with him. He hit the hole much better last year, accelerated out, good in pass protection, even though he's a smaller guy. Great kid. We're going to miss him.
Were you surprised the market he commanded?
I knew he was going to get money. I didn't, you know, I obviously didn't know it was going to be that high, but I'm always wrong at that stuff. But he's worth it. He's a good kid. He's worth it.
And do you believe in his ability to be a feature back, even though it's a little bit smaller?
Yeah, Jarrett can do whatever they ask him to do. He's a great kid. Smart, tough, understands protection. You know, the whole bit. But he's a good kid.
What do you think about his pairing with Kyle Shanahan?
I think it'd be good. I mean, you know, it's another weapon for him. You know, with the rest of the guys they have. But you know, Jarek was a guy that we drafted that came in and did every year got better.
Just to follow up on what you said, the medical thing, reports you're getting during the season or postseason.
Post. Yeah.
During the season, you had two. I'm guessing you felt like if you had
like. Well, like I say, when I saw him in practice.
Yeah.
I thought he could handle everything. I mean, I don't. I didn't. I never saw you know, him being hampered with that. But you know, other people that were talking to me had different opinions, I guess.
And he kind of referenced something when he got to New York. He said like he wasn't comfortable talking about his health with me yet.
Well, I just think, honestly, I think when I saw that, I just think that's Teddy, and he doesn't want to talk about. Teddy wants to move forward.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with the health of his knee. No, I put Sam in because he had a great game against New Orleans, and then at that point, you know, I just kept it the same way, but. And I talked to Teddy about it beforehand. But no, there was no setback.
The reports, was it concern about his long-term injury, or was it just more...
It was just, yeah, I mean, it was more about, you know, like when you get a physical on a guy and his knee is A, B, or C, or D, or whatever it was, it was... As a long-term thing, could be nervous, yeah. But it was, you know, it was out of my hands, pretty much.
With that said, it seems like your experience with Teddy, you feel that you can overcome.
Yeah, I mean, for everything he does, he overcomes. He's a great competitor, great kid. I mean, for him to come back from the injury they had was significant. I mean, it was remarkable. For the amount of time, no one in the history of the world has ever come back from the injury that he had in that amount of time.
When you got that report, I think you referenced it after the season, the 24 guys, but it was. You must have gotten that pretty soon after the injury.
Yeah, when it happened. But none of those injuries are exactly the same. I mean, one might be a posterior capsule, one might be a anterior, all the different, but it didn't. Yeah, it was not a good report.
So when you got that, were you like, well, we'll be lucky if we ever get this guy. When you know him as a person, which you know what this report said, and his fans too. Did you think that they're really, that he could, you know, knowing what the history was, that made it pretty unlikely? Or
it was doubtful.
Yeah.
But I think the part about knowing who the kid was, you know, made it a little bit better.
Was that just 24 people had had it, like half of them took more than 2 years?
Half of them never came back. The earliest anybody ever came back, this is in all sports, it was like 24 months. You know, he came back and practiced in 15 or something. Yeah, they did all the research.
Sorry, guys.
Want me to hold it for you?
did you see the comments Sharif Floyd made on social media?
I did.
You have reactions to those?
No, I mean, I suppose I say a lot of things about players during the season, but I mean, I had a good relationship with Sharif, like I do with all the players, so I don't think it was, I mean, I haven't seen him in 2 years, maybe, or whatever it is, so.
Did you guys know that he had the nerve thing when the surgery happened?
No, we didn't know until after it happened, obviously. I mean, we didn't know until, when was it? I don't know, whenever, you know, it was a long time before we figured out.
Are there any specific things you can do to ease Kirk's transition? Obviously, it's not like the personal stuff that's moving, but just getting building and laying the pieces.
Yeah, well, we can't do it until he gets, you know, until we get him there.
So, once you can talk to him about football and start that process.
Yeah, once April 16th gets here, I think he's like every guy that comes in April 16th, it'll be a little bit of an adjustment period, but once we... You know, we started in football, and, you know, and I understand the things that he's looking for and John DeFilippo does, and we start working together. You know, because to me the most important thing is to do what the quarterback does. Whatever he does well, let's do it. And so, you know, we'll get a better feel for it as we go through OTAs. Obviously, I'm going to spend a lot of time with him during the spring, but after football, when it settles down, then kind of go back and review things with him. Just say, hey, you know, what did you like about this? What, you know, how do you feel about, what do you think we need? Do we need this? Do we need that? You know, how can we make it more successful? It's really just about, you know, like I do with most of the guys, really. I think it's going to be similar. I mean, we're keeping a lot of the terminology the same, so the rest of the players don't have to learn. But again, we're going to do what Cousins does best. I mean, that's what, you know, he's the most important player, really, on the offense. So we have to figure out what he does best, what he feels comfortable with, and then kind of move from there. I don't anticipate it being a lot different, but there's going to be some differences, partly because of him and partly some of the things that DeFilippo likes to do.
Are you happy with your receiver?
Jarius is gone, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to continue to always look for guys, but, you know, I think with Adam and Stefan and Treadwell, hopefully he makes a jump.
Like, in your conversations with Kirk, what's your sense of how steep the learning curve will be for him and adapting from what he did in Washington to what he'll do in your offense?
I don't think it'll be a very steep learning curve. I mean, he's a really smart kid. He's very, very detailed. And I mean, like, he wants to have every answer. And the people I've talked to, you know, I talked to Sean McVay yesterday. I've talked to Kyle Shanahan a little bit yesterday. And these guys just rave about him, and so I don't think the learning curve will be big, but it's important for us as coaches to do what he does the best. You know, I've always said that your offense should be what the quarterback does best. It's not whatever the playbook says. So, you know, obviously we've got the playbook in and all the installation, all that stuff, but that could all go out the window when we get our hands on him and get to know exactly what he's doing and what he feels comfortable with. You know, you don't pay that guy that much money to try to put him in a square hole, you know.
You mentioned the money in Indianapolis. You said that the strength of this has always been the defense, and that's what's gotten you there, and you didn't want to do it if you weren't going to be able to re-sign those guys. Did you ask for assurances from Rob or anybody else just to make sure that with Kirk's contract you'd still be able to get your guys?
Well, I did mention that a lot of times to those guys, but sometimes I said that to the media just so they would – I think we're going in a different direction as well, but Bob doesn't like
that.
Probably
not supposed to say that out loud. Yeah.
But I wasn't lying. I still feel that way. But Rob did. You know, Rob presents does a great job. He sits down. He tells you, all right, if we do this, these are things we can do in the next 3 years. We can do this, do this, do this, do this, and So at that point, then we sit down, Rick and myself and George Payton and Rob Brzezinski, we sit down and we make a decision. And this was the decision we thought was best.
Speaking of the defense, I mean, they had such a fantastic year, and then there's the last 5 quarters. How do you sort of reconcile those two games?
Honestly, I don't look at it the way everybody else is saying that. The Philadelphia game, we didn't play good. New Orleans, we played good. We played against a great, great offensive football team. We're 17-0 in the third quarter, late in the third quarter. We throw an interception, we get a punt blocked. You know, we're playing a Hall of Fame quarterback. That game, they came back and they played good and they made some plays on us. But probably the last 4 games of the year, we didn't play. We didn't rush as good as we could. We had the entire season. Griff was dealing with this plantar fasciitis. We were probably playing Tom Johnson too many plays, and so he probably ran out of a little bit of gas. So I think it was kind of the end stretch there, the last quarter of the season, more than anything. We could have, I think we should have rotated players more. I didn't do a good job with that. And, so that's another lesson learned. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's at some point in time, when the game's on the line, you got to play your best guys. And so I don't want to be taking guys out when our best players are not in to win the game. But and we stayed fairly healthy, which was good and significant. But I don't think so. There's 16 games and 2 postseason games. 18 times 4 is what? 32, 72, and we're talking about 5 quarters. So I have to look at the entirety of the season, and not so much the Philadelphia game. None of us played good, but in New Orleans we played pretty good. They just made some plays.
Perennial question about Terrence Newman: is he still a fit, or is it maybe just a matter of dollars?
It's a little bit of that. I've talked to Terrence about a week ago. We'll have another conversation about a week, and we'll just, see where he's at and what he wants to do. And, I don't want to speak for him.
So he's still wondering?
I think he's still thinking about it, yeah.
From what you have learned of the new catch rule, and assuming it gets passed, do you think it will make the situation better?
I think it'll be better. I think there'll still be some, Is it or isn't it? I think it clarifies quite a bit of it. The one I have a hard time, Adam Thielen catches one in the end zone against Carolina, and the ball probably moved that much, and, they call it incomplete. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Right, so, now they said that's not. The ball moving that much is not
Yeah. I mean, from the clips that they showed us, I don't think that would. I think it'll be more clear.
What do you think about the ejection proposal, like encouraging officials to eject more in New York?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine if guys are doing things that they shouldn't be doing on the field. I don't have any problem with it. We're all trying to make. We want to make this game great for the fans, and we want to make it great for all the people watching it. And, there's a lot of things that we don't need to have in this game. Some of the fights and some of that stuff is... We want to make it safe. I mean, it's a great game, and we need to continue to try to make it as safe as possible. How's it going? Good. The thing about Coach Parcells, when you're working for him, it's always a lot harder than it is when you're not working for him. He was always trying to get me be better. He's always poking a stick at me, and he liked me, and so I felt sorry for some of the other guys. But he calls, the phone will ring. Rick and I will be sitting in my office Monday morning, 6 a.m., and we're watching tape, and then the phone will ring, and I'll say, here's Parcells. And he'll call in, and he'll talk to me. He said, oh, how's my favorite player for the Vikings doing? And, you know, he watch the game, tells me what, you know, you should have done this. You know, here's the rule on this. You should have done that, whatever. But he's meant an awful lot to me. I've had the opportunity to work for a lot of great coaches, but he taught me probably the most about the game of football, not just, you know, defense or offense, but about managing the game. I've still got some quotes. I have a book. It's about that big that when he first came to Dallas, every day in the team meeting, I would take notes just like the players, the things he would say. And so I have a book that I just labeled Parcells. And, you know, this happened, you know, he'd come in my office. He actually would come in my office because my office was right next. So we go to the team meeting, and then we had a special teams meeting. So I'd walk back to my office, and he would go in, and he'd follow me in my office. Some days he'd want to talk about whatever, baseball, golf, boxing, horse racing, whatever. And he'd come in my office, but he'd always say, write this down. When you're a head coach, remember this. And so I would write all these things down. And so I've got a little book of it. Yeah. Oh, do you? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I've got a lot of those, too. Well, I mean, like, one of the things, talking about team meetings, just off the top of my head, was never talk to the team more than 5 minutes because they don't listen anyway. Yeah. You know, just 5 minutes is all you need to talk to them. You know, so get your point across and go. But he, you know, he had nicknames for everybody. Yeah, as you probably know, you know, all that stuff. mine was all right. Mine was Mikey. Find out what Sean Payton's was. Ask Sean what his nickname was.
Did you watch the ESPN documentary on him and Belichick, the two Bills that they did?
I didn't see it, no.
I'm just curious, because he went through some of that at the team meetings and whatnot.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Is it like a spiral notebook?
Yeah. I just insert them in a three ring binder.
It's all handwritten?
Yeah. He's the first person I called when Teddy got hurt. And he said, what are you going to do? We're not going to cancel games. You know, that's his thing. You got to get back in there. You got to tell the team this. You got to... yeah, he's the first guy. I call him a lot, though. I mean, matter of fact, he wants me to come down and play golf. And Sean and I were going to go down and play golf. And I was giving him... You know, now I can give him a hard time because I don't really care. So I said, how come you invite all these other guys down to your place? You never invite me. Oh, I never invite them. When are you coming down? Come on down. You know, it's like, I said, okay, I'll come down. We'll play golf. So he said, you're going to be just like me. You're going to need action. When you retire, you're going to need action. You know, and his action right now are horses. So.
Already, but since I can't wait to the table, Teddy's injury, thinking that went into moving on from him.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
You know, the first thing is, I love Teddy Bridgewater, the person, the player, the commitment that he has to being great. It was more. The question of the health, for us, is he going to be the same? Is he going to be this? Is he going to continue to get better? What is the longevity of his career going to be? But he is one guy that I would never, ever bet against. I think he's going to be successful. He's going to go in there and compete. I know that, you know, they're probably draft a quarterback, and they'll, they've signed... down, right?
Yeah.
And, he's going to go in there every single day and he's going to compete and the team is going to gravitate toward him. I hope he does well. I hope he has a great career. Just not when they play us.
What was your level of concern that he might never be what he was or what he might have been?
Yeah, when it happened and I got the reports, I was concerned that he may never play again. I didn't know if he'd walk again. I mean, it was a bad injury. Miller, the tight end from the Bears, has basically the same injury. And the medical people, our trainer Eric Sugarman did an unbelievable job of getting in there and, telling me to get the team off the field because it was, here's our starting quarterback and non-contact, he doesn't touch anybody, and, we're expecting to have a good season, and the whole thing kind of blew up that day. But he's a kid who works really hard, comes in every day with a smile on his face. I love being around him. I loved his the way he learns, the way he listens, the way everything about him. So I think he'll do good.
When you look back at your time in Minnesota, does that day stick out just because of how it changed things, yeah, because of the nature of the injury and how graphic it was? How much it tested you?
Well, I've had a lot of times in Minnesota. My second game, Adrian gets suspended. Castle gets hurt in the third game. There were so many things throughout. I'm going to write a good book. But all of them did. Yeah, the eye, missing a game. There's all kinds of things that. But Teddy, that was because you've got a quarterback that you think is going to be your franchise, and he's young, and he's not making a lot of money, and, you got a good team around him, and, I still told him that you and I are going to be together forever, My career is going to go as long as your career goes, but, it just didn't work out that way.
I worked in Denver, so you had Case last year. What kind of person and quarterback are the Broncos getting?
Great person. He's a kid that works very, very hard. Maybe he's hard as anybody I've been around. He's an excellent quarterback, moves well in the pocket, accurate, makes plays. He's a good kid. They got a good one.
How much did he kind of help steady things and grow into the job as his time as the starter went on?
Yeah, I think, and the thing about Case was, I think the entire time, especially at the beginning, he earned the trust of the team. I think he earned the trust of everybody there. It's kind of like his life. He was never given anything. He was always went out to prove it and earn it, and that's Case, and I think he'll do the same thing in Denver.
You mentioned thinking a little bit last year about giving up play calling duties and experimenting with it in the preseason game. Do you have any thoughts of doing that this season, or any desires, or do you still
want it? I would like to get away from it at some point. Maybe because of the last five quarters, I should, I guess. I don't know. But, I think it's something I do good. I don't want to be a second-guess coach, when George calls something, I don't want to say, "Oh, I hate that call." I mean, I've had that in the past. And I don't think, it's not good for that. But I don't know. I mean, I was in New York a couple weeks ago and talked to the owners about it. And it was like, not so fast, So we'll just see how it goes. I mean.
You want to add a veteran offensive lineman, or you feel like you can address that in the draft, or how do you look at the offensive line?
We're going to look at all the things, but we signed Compton, so he's a veteran, but he's a guy we've had on the radar for a while. I think we're going to be okay.
What are the latest reports on Dalvin?
Dalvin is ahead of schedule. I think that he'll be doing some things in OTAs. He won't be doing everything, but he'll start getting back into football a little bit as we go.
Were you pleased that you were able to keep Latavius around and restructure his deal?
Yeah.
So that Dalvin doesn't have to take the load of everything?
Yeah, and I think it's good to have two different styles of backs. Latavius, I thought he came in and did a great job. I love talking to him and his demeanor and everything about him. And he's a good short yardage guy, good goal line guy. He had a lot of explosive runs for us after Dalvin left. And it was important, losing Jarek, that we kept another back. I think he's going to have a great career. He's a guy you never would ever bet against. He's going to go in there and compete like crazy. The team is going to gravitate toward him. He's going to any deficiency he has, he's going to work on. He's going to continue to try to get better and better. And I think he's going to have a great career.
Where do you think he's at physically?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
The last time you were.
Yeah, he looked good in practice to me. So, our guys would kind of try to rough him up a little bit once in a while in practice, just for, because Teddy's kind of guy, that would, in practice he'd bet the defensive players, I'm going to throw a touchdown pass against you today, and stuff like that. And so, that's how he is. Get better every day, but I think health wise he'd be fine.
How sad was it for you to see that special relationship? You guys probably thought he was
going to
be there 10 years, but
that
circumstance.
Yeah, well, it was really difficult. I felt bad. Number one, I felt bad for Teddy when it happened, and our franchise and organization when it happened, because, as you say, I thought we were going to be together forever. And, it was a year and a half before he was able to get back, but in the same token, it was quicker than anybody else that's ever had that injury come back. So, it was difficult. And then, I was hoping, he'd get back and get back into things. And because, I always remember Teddy, the quarterback, that was 11-5, that, won the division and beat Green Bay up there and for the division. So, that part was difficult.
Is it sort of a weird time for you where you get two of the three best free agents on the market and now you kind of have to sit around and you can't play with your new toys?
Yeah, but not as bad as some of these new coaches. They're talking about, like John Gruden said, he's been a head coach for six days and he hadn't been able to talk to his team yet. So at least most of the guys I run into once in a while.
You want any more Teddy questions?
I don't care. Those are easy compared to some of the other ones. What's up, Tom?
How you doing?
I'm here.
Over. I am.
I'm here. Bob called me three times this morning.
Who did?
Oh. See if I was going to make it. I didn't answer on purpose.
Call Bob.
He's not going to be late.
How would you, I'm sure you have not put a lot of thought into this, but how would you fix the off-season work rule issue? Every coach talks about it. You'd like more time with players. You'd like to have more contact. In the next labor negotiations, they're going to say, we like having all this extra time, less practice and all that stuff. How do you bridge that gap?
Well, I think the first thing is, I think it's ridiculous that the players can't work out in your facility. Most of them, they go to some guru and go work out and lift and all that. Whereas, even if it was an hour a day where they come in, you look at that part. It's kind of, there's a happy medium in there somewhere. But you look at the number of injuries that happened in the preseason in training camp. It's because, they're gone for 5 weeks before they come back in there. And they're probably not doing football-related drills. And they're going to see some other guy. And then they come in and they do other things. And so the injury rate in preseason is higher than it is in the regular season. And I just think for the betterment of the team and the player, being able to spend some time, why should they have to go pay somebody else to work them out? It's silly. Some of the things.
No, we've got a few more guys staying there to work with our strength coach, which, you know, to me that's good. I mean that part is good, but, you know, I don't know. That would be the start of it. And then, you know, phase one, I mean, we get a little bit out of it because we work on education things as far as playing the game and stuff like that, but phase one and phase two, they're kind of like, so what? You know, it's not, you don't get a lot done. You can't, I mean, how's a defensive guy, a defensive back, when he can't line up against anybody, whether it's his own player or not, learn how to cover routes? I mean, oh, okay, let's get one of those dummies that motorized dummies, you know, that they have.
Yeah.
Long story. Probably 10 or 15 have been there. So I haven't been there, but some of them FaceTimed. You know, they FaceTime each other and show them the locker room and stuff like that in the training room. But yeah, I mean, I would just like them being there working out. I don't want to talk football with them. I don't need all year long to do what I do. I don't need them all the time. But if they want to get better, I want to be able to help them, especially the young guys. And I don't want them to get hurt in the preseason. I mean, we were lucky last year. We didn't have a lot, but, you know, there's been a lot of injuries in the preseason. It's not, I'm sure.
In a nutshell, what is
what we hope is that it gets us better. You know, we're going to continue to try to get better every day. You know, I don't look at this as the, you know, the Super Bowl or bust and all the things everybody's saying. We have to get better in a lot of areas, and we just felt like the stability at that position is important for us. You know, I've had four quarterbacks in 4 years, whatever it is. You know, just trying to get some stability at that position is important for us. And, you know, the three guys we had, I love them all. They did a lot for me and a lot for the organization. But we just felt like he's been, knock on wood, a healthy guy. He's played a lot of games. He's a competitor, a winner, throws great accuracy. And so I think that part was what intrigued us the most. Well, and the other thing was, you know, Rick kept saying this, not very often does a quarterback of his caliber come on the open market, you know, and that was kind of the big draw and feeling that we can continue to get him to be better, hopefully have a good team around him, and hope he grows and that it's a long-term deal. Yeah, that was one of the major things that we talked about. You know, I voiced my opinion. You know, I don't want to. I felt like we won 40 games in 4 years because we played good on defense. We stayed in games. Now, obviously, the offense was a lot better this year, and so you know, that helped us to win a few more. But that was important to me, that we don't throw away the whole team, you know, for one guy. You know, I've seen it before in other organizations and things like that. But Rob Brzezinski is our cap guy. He's a magician with that. And, you know, he told me, okay, here's the scenarios, okay? It's 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. So we talked about all those different things. If you sign this guy, this is what happens in 18, this is what happens in 19, this is what happens in 20. I was good with it.
So you've had an unusual situation over the past couple of years with Bradford parachuting in on, you know, cut down day, Keenum taking over in week two or whatever it was. When you pay a guy like you paid Cousins and you have this established leadership and feel for your team, how does he go about just kind of, he's going to instantaneously be the leader to a degree. So how does you go about just, you know, having him mesh into what you've already built there?
You know, I think it's like you do it with every guy. You know, you use your personality. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be me around him, and, you know, we got to get to know each other and how that's going to go. But same thing with the team. And that, you know, I'm going to give him some shit. Just, that's who I am, you know. I'm going to joke around with him and, you know, tease him once in a while. And, you know, just because I want him to fit in with the rest of the guys. You know, no different idea with Teddy or Case or Sam or Harrison Smith or, you know, it's just... but I don't think that's going to be an issue. This kid wants to come, you know, the conversations I've had with him, this kid wants to come in and he's excited about being there. He wants to come in and be part of the team. He doesn't want to be described as a savior or anything like that. I think he's come around as a, you know, it's he's just another piece of the puzzle, and I think he's happy to be there and he's happy to be around a bunch of good bunch of guys. I mean, they're good guys. And I think he's a good guy, so he'll fit in well there.
It seems like you don't need him to be this much better. I mean, if you get 10%...
We want him to be great. I mean, every day. And our coaches feel like he's got some more room to grow. And so that's really what it is. And you know, but he's going to have to learn a little bit about how to play with our team, you know, because that's part of it, too. You know, it's... If our defense is, you know, we're down 21-0, you know, you're going to wing it around all the time and try and take some shots. Hopefully we're in, you know, competitive games all the time, and he can play to his strengths as well and the strengths of our football team.
So when you say you don't look at it as Super Bowl or bust, you also are conscious of the expectations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Expectation would get coaches fired.
But you've never been fired, so you don't have that fear of God in you.
Yeah, I don't have a fear of God in me. Actually,
probably don't say it, whatever you're thinking.
You know what? I like my football team, and it's really, really hard to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I've done it, I don't know how many years of this for me, and I've won it once with a really good football team. It's hard, and people don't understand. Well, obviously Vikings fans do because they've never won the Super Bowl. But this team is not going to look at, okay, well, if we don't win the Super Bowl, and I'm going to preach to them every day about let's get better today, let's get better today, let's try to do this a little bit better, let's try to do this. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've been with teams that have been really good and don't play good, you know, because of whatever reasons they've, you know, everybody's telling them how great they are. I mean, you know, the Philly game might be a perfect example of that, you know. All week long, human nature, everybody's telling us how great we are and, you know, it's the greatest play ever, and we don't come off the field for, 2 hours after the game, you know, whatever. And it's, now Diggs is a celebrity and, you know, all the different things. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, that's really not who our team is. They're not a bunch of celebrity kind of guys. So, but it's hard to do, and I understand how hard it is to do, and I think our players understand how hard it is.
Like humility is kind
of going to be I'm not going to change. It'll be all the time. You know, first time I have a chance to have a meeting with the players, I'll talk to him about all those things and just about, you know, you want to say you're as good as your last game? Okay, let's put the tape on. I mean, you know, this is who we are. This is what we've done. No one gets to start at 13-3 or 14-4, whatever it was. We get to start at 0-0 just like everybody else. And, you know, whatever, I mean, we're going to have all kinds of things, adversity that we're going to have to overcome throughout the next season just like we do every other season. So it's how we prepare and how we go about our business. And usually the team's pretty good about it.
So will you actually show them the Philly tape on day one?
No, hell no. I don't want to watch that either.
Have you gone back and broken it down like you normally do?
Yeah. But I'm gonna sit down. You know, John's been really busy with the offense, and so, but I'm going to sit down with him and we're going to go through every play in there and say, okay, what were we trying to do here? What was this? You know, that's what I get a kick out of. So they, here you go, my tangent again. Okay, so they're probably going to pass this video on the sideline deal, right?
Which you've been against.
I'm still against it. Okay, so I can go. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it in there this morning in the big room. I'm going to say, how many coaches in here have gone in and watched the game on Monday and say, watching the film back and say, oh, that's what they were doing? Because I know I have plenty of times. Whereas, so now I don't have to do that. In the 7 minutes left in the first quarter, I can say, okay, here's what they're doing. This is how they're blocking this. Because I can watch it back on tape. I don't have to use any coaching skills whatsoever to do this. So that'll probably be my thing today. You're going to love it, too.
Eight more minutes. Enough time for you to finish breakfast.
Great.
Not. No coffee, no wine. You're not asking anything. Who's this?
When wobbies run out, you know breakfast is too long.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Grandpa.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Sit in my seat.
That's a lie.
John's going to sit here for 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
All right.
3 minutes.
Mike,
you see that, you feel like chemistry can develop pretty fast between Kirk and DeFilippo. You know, that those kind of relationships do take some time.
Yeah, I think it'll take some time. But, you know, they're both very intelligent guys. I think they've had a good communication so far. But it'll take some time, just like it does with everybody. But I think it's going to work out good. Flip has done a great, you know, in his career, he's done a great job of quarterbacks. Kirk will be a guy that he's going to ask a lot of questions from everybody that I talk to. And so that'll be good. And Flip will have the answers for him, and I think they'll get along great.
What do you see as the best things that Kirk will bring to your offense?
You know, I think he does a great job of seeing the field. I think he does a great job of moving from one side to the other with his eyes and going on to different reads. I think he's excellent in play action. I know every time we've played against him, he's been really, really good in play action. And I think when he gets around our team, his competitive nature and the rest of our team are going to gel pretty good.
You see all the right intangibles, you just mentioned competitive nature. You see the right intangibles from him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that everyone I talked to gave him glowing recommendations. And so, you know, it's hard for me right now because I haven't been around him too much. But the time I was, he was asking me about the 1994 Dallas Cowboy defense, you know what I mean? So he wants to know. He's inquisitive. He wants to learn about all the different things.
Was that at dinner he was quizzing you on some of that stuff?
Yeah, just curious. What was our main coverage then? Did we play a 4-3 or 3, you know, whatever. Just stuff like that.
Okay. Just about 3 minutes here.
Okay.
Joining us right now, Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Free agency works in weird ways. You get Sheldon Richardson. Seattle gets two guys from your team, Jameer Stevens and also Thomas Johnson. Talk about the transition of those three players.
Yeah, you know, Pete Carroll yesterday came up to me and says, you know, we traded 2-for-1. And which Tom Johnson's a guy that he's had a lot of success with us. He's a good pass rusher. We probably played him a little bit too much. That's what I told Pete. We probably played him a little bit too much last year. Because you know, he's much better when he's fresh. Shamar is a great technical football player, excellent against the run, great kid. They're both good kids, and so those two guys, I think, are going to help him quite a bit. And then Sheldon, you know, and what Pete said to me was, you know, Sheldon's going to help you a lot in pass rush, and you know, and we feel like we can continue to get him better by doing, you know. Andre Patterson's, I think, is a great coach, and I think he'll help him a lot.
Yeah, the interesting part about Sheldon is that it really is till like the latter part of the season he's finally felt comfortable as a three technique, because he really hadn't done that in the NFL, and it took him a while to feel comfortable doing that, and I'm sure that's what you envision with him.
Yeah, and we think we can get him better. And, you know, he's a little bit like Bradford. He got traded 7 days before the season started. And so, you know, trying to find a new home, find a new locker room, find a new playbook, all those things that, you know, that's what, you know, it takes some time. And, when teams go from one team to another, typically in free agency, it takes a little bit of time, just like not as much as rookies, but it takes some time.
As you watch the season and some of the tape, I mean, there was more double teaming of Sheldon as the year went on.
Yeah, and he was, and honestly, there was a lot of, he was very disruptive. He didn't get the sack numbers that he had, but he moved the pocket off, moved the quarterback off the spot, which to us is important. You know, we don't talk a lot about sacks. We talk about affecting the quarterback, and I think he did that quite well. So, you know, we're going to obviously try to get him to get some more sacks, but if he can continue to affect the quarterback for us, our three technique is a very important position because the inside rusher can really affect the game, in our opinion.
Now, you said you kept Tom Johnson on the field maybe a little bit too long. What did he do that earned that to keep him on the field that long?
Well, you know, when we first brought Tom in, you know, he'd been in Canada and been released by a couple other teams, but we looked at him as a nickel pass rusher, and he was our three technique pass rusher. And then as time went on, he started playing the run better, and he does play the run well now. And so that got him to that spot, but then we didn't have a guy to go in and rotate with him. You know, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would play him less. You know, they all want to play, right? So that's the dilemma that you have. And if I had to do it over again, I'd probably play him, 20 plays less a game and let him get in a pass rush on those times he's in.
And finally, what's Steven? You say he's a good technician as far as learning the techniques. What's his best position?
You know, I think probably one technique or nose tackle for us. But he can play both. In the running game, he is outstanding. People can't screen him. He does a great job of getting his hands on offensive linemen. He keeps linebackers free. He makes plays. He's got great strength. We call him fundamental because he does everything by the book. I mean, he's outstanding. I'm going to miss him. We were hoping to get him back, obviously. That's how it goes.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, see ya.
What advice would you give to a guy becoming a head coach for the first time?
How much time do you have?
What?
Two minutes.
2 minutes.
What advice? Do less media.
Yeah.
I guess be prepared for unpreparable things. I mean, it's just, you know, Parcells would tell me you're going to have five things come across your desk this day that you're not prepared for. And I think that's partly, you know, that's true. You know, there's things that are going to happen. You're going to have to navigate around it. You're going to get your best quarterback who's your franchise quarterback hurt. And, and what are you going to do then? So you're going to have to, I think, have a good staff and people around you that can help you. You know, for me, having Rick Spielman and those guys that can take a lot of things off my plate because I like to coach. I don't want to be a CEO. I think all those things are, important. I don't really have to learn about the salary cap and if we cut this guy, we can't have this guy. You know, they tell me all those things. I think that's important.
You were talking about learning to delegate. Was it difficult at first? Or
with what?
You were talking about learning to kind of delegate to and giving, letting your coaches do what they need to do. Was that difficult at first and not trying to control everything?
Probably the best advice I could say is be yourself. I mean, I've seen so many guys go in there and try to be someone else, you know, whoever their mentor was or however, you know, Tom Landry or whatever, Bill Parcells. And players, they don't want you to be somebody else. They want you to be yourself. So, and if a guy wants to be the CEO, that's who he should be. If he wants to be a coach, that's what he should be. You know what I mean? So I think being yourself is more important than delegating to what other people do. That's kind of how I try it. I don't know. Hey, I don't have the answers, that's for sure.
Thank you.
We're good.
What do you plan for off-season activities before the draft?
For me? Nothing.
Not much?
Watch film. A lot of it, unfortunately.
Here's your bag.